right. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining and for being here with us today. So we are kicking off today's either podcast or you're looking at us possibly through YouTube for our interview. But so excited to have our friend Tanya Harris here, who is a holistic nutritionist. And we're going to be talking all about ADHD, toxins, and some really great information to really help with any behavioral problems. I'm fascinated now with all this, so I cannot wait to talk to you. So this is going to be awesome. So Tanya and I have met through another program that we are a part of, and it's just been a great opportunity for us for the last couple of weeks to get to spend every week together for a few months. So we are thrilled, and we are learning so much about what each other does. So maybe Tanya, you can just share with them about your journey, a little bit about you, how you got to this place, and how you became a holistic nutritionist, and all that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me. Seriously, I'm so excited to do this and to be working with you. So thank you. My name is Tanya Harris and I'm a holistic nutritionist. And I think really my journey got started in 1982. So a long time ago. So right before my 7th birthday, and I know everybody is calculating my age right now, but 2 weeks before my 7th birthday, I was actually diagnosed with leukemia. So I'm a 34-year cancer survivor now from childhood leukemia, and I think that really jump-started my journey here. So I've always been careful about what I ate and what I put on my body. When my children were little, I was trying all these natural products, and only later to find out baby products aren't necessarily any safer, for your children. So kind of went on that journey, but it wasn't really until I spent a lot of money just buying all these products that I later found out had hidden toxins. But it really wasn't until my son was in 2nd grade where his teacher called me and said, we think there's some tension issues. We really think we need to test him. So I was a former teacher. I kind of asked for a little more time just because I kind of just knew something maybe in our home was contributing to symptoms. And maybe there's something I can do to help him before we take those next steps. And I came home and I really researched, and I just made a few simple changes to his diet, and his symptoms lessened to the point where a couple months later, they didn't want to test him anymore. So I was kind of hooked and opened a store. It's a long story short, opened a store that only sold natural and organic products out of my frustration for not finding truly natural and organic, because anybody can slap the word natural on a product and that doesn't mean it is. So, but actually my daughter, when she was in 3rd grade, 3 years ago, they recommended testing her for learning disabilities, and I had seen symptoms for that, and I knew she was behind. She came back severely learning disabled and ADHD, so she's kind of got the gamut. So that's when I dug in even deeper, and so now that's where I've kind of niched, is I wanted to help parents realize what's in their products that are affecting their child's brain health, because there are so many things and so many studies being done now about children losing IQ points. I think someone had said children now with lead and pesticide exposure have forfeited 41 trillion IQ points just through some of these exposures. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it's kind of scary. So yeah, I just want to kind of help get the word out. So I went back to the nutrition school and got my master's in holistic nutrition and then became board certified so that I can kind of do this officially and help parents learn how to take out the toxins.
That is so, wow. I mean, it's such a, what a journey that you have been on. So will you share with us, all about ADHD? I mean, what are symptoms and signs? Because I think sometimes we all say, oh, I think I'm having an ADHD day, but we don't always know. I mean, and for adults too. I mean, what does it look like for adults and what does it look like for children?
Yeah, a lot of it is the inattention, so lack of focus. But with my kids, I noticed too, they can't organize. Like their lockers and their notebooks are the scariest things you'll ever see. So things such as that we don't think of as even time management, organizational skills, the hyperactivity, like the constant fidgeting. So a lot of those are the common signs, but just kind of sitting down and not being able to do homework, or especially one big thing is not knowing where to start. So that's why a lot of the homework struggle comes in, is children don't know, like they don't know how to break it down. They don't know where to start. They just see it as a big, huge thing. I would definitely say the inattentiveness and lack of organizational skills were the things we saw with our kids, not being able to stay on task.
So did they recommend medicine as the first go-to way to deal with it in your experience?
No, not really, because I didn't go that far.
Got it. Yeah.
I want to put this out there too, that I don't judge. I don't, if anybody's got their children on medicine, you know, you do what you have to do. We're doing the best for our kids. And I'm not saying the things I'm going to tell you today are going to cure you, but they can help ease the symptoms. So, but one thing I would say is, if you do start putting some of these things into place, to not take your child off medicine unless they're under the supervision of the doctor, don't just decide I'm going to take them off and try these other things. So I think that's important to say too.
For sure. For sure. So what do you, so when you were taking your son and you were making some changes to food and environment, I mean, where did you see some of the biggest changes?
Taking out some of the symptom wise or what I took out?
Yeah. Symptom. Yeah. So what were the, I guess, yeah. So first, maybe what did you take out of his food and out of his environment? And then what were the symptom changes that you saw from that?
I took out artificial colors and preservatives first. That was the big thing, because I had started actually researching the Feingold diet. So I took a lot of those things out of his diet at home. And then another thing I took out was preservatives like BHA and BHT. Mm-hmm. But what I noticed is he just fidgeted a little less, and he was able to stay on task just a little bit longer. And I think the school kind of saw the same thing, so that's why they didn't want to test him after that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we still see symptoms crop up here and there. I mean, it's what it is. But as long as we can ease those symptoms is what we want to do, especially during their school, you know, their school and academic life.
Absolutely. That's wild. So what do you think plays the bigger role? Is it food? Is it, because I love the way you put it. It's what you put in your body. It's what you put on your body. And then the third one is what's around your body. Yeah, which is awesome. So those are the three kind of pillars that you're always looking at when you're working with families. Do you think that one plays a bigger role than the other?
It's hard to say. Food definitely plays a huge role, just because some children have actually been found to be sensitive to a lot of these additives and preservatives and things like MSG. But the thing is, when you put something on your, or actually I'll talk about around your body real quick, because some of those are as simple as cleaning products, off-gassing, or people who use air fresheners in their home. They think just because they're smelling it, they're not getting that formaldehyde that's in a lot of the things that, you know, that's cancer causing. And there's phthalates in there, and phthalates are something that they've recently found that if you have prenatal exposure can lower your child's IQ and affect their brain development. So just because we're smelling it, we don't necessarily think we're putting it in our bodies, but really we are.
Man. So even air fresheners, it would be, what you're washing your clothes in, any type of fabric softener. Mm-hmm. Dish soap. I mean, here, I think the hand sanitizers has made its way mainstream. So I think a lot of people know that that might not be the best thing to use, but I don't know if we hear so much about the other products.
Oh yeah. Or everybody who's got the Glade plugins in their house to make their house smell fresh. So, or if their kids use, you know, Bath and Body Works, that type of thing, any type of fragrance that they have, fragrance contains, well, it's a proprietary formula, so they don't have to list what's in there, but a lot of them are like the phthalates and everything that cause so much damage that we don't even know about. And that's just in what we smell. But I guess to answer the original question, food does play a huge role, but the things you put on your body too, those get into your bloodstream right away and can cause the damage. So it's kind of a double-edged sword there.
Holy cow. So let's talk a little bit about food, which is always a favorite topic. And our listeners always love that too. We love to just dissect food. And, you know, we were talking on a webinar a couple of months ago about what foods, you know, to steer clear of. And one is the kid favorite Fruity Pebbles, which we all ate growing up as a kid. It's so common that they now have even created, I think it's like a flavored milk that tastes like the milk at the bottom of your bowl after you've eaten Fruity Pebbles. I know. So, but it's full of all of the dyes as well. And I think we see that in a lot of those kid-friendly, kid-favorite foods. So what are some things that you recommend that we steer clear from? So do you want to talk a little bit? I mean, I know you have a great guide that lists, you know, the three types of foods to really steer clear from. One of those is MSG. Do you want to talk a little bit about MSGs?
Sure. Yeah, because I don't think MSG's brought up enough.
Well, I think you're right. You have rocked my world with MSG already.
Yeah, it kind of blows my mind too. It's kind of new to me also. I didn't realize all the things it does to children's brain health or our own brain health, but it's actually the most widely used food additive in the world. So it enhances the flavor of food, but it's found in everything from salad dressings and crackers, chips, sauces, even seasonings that you use. So it's actually really hard to find a food without it. But it's also an excitotoxin. So they found that when you expose your brain cells, when it gets into your brain, it can excite your brain cells to the point of they get overexcited and they start firing off all these impulses until a few hours later that they just die off. So you could be actually killing your neurons in your brain. So that's not good. And they've done animal studies too, where they found that if they give MSG to pregnant animals, they found that the offspring have learning disabilities similar to ADD.
Man.
And then I have a couple notes here too, because these are a couple studies I just recently read, but they also found that there's changes in the prefrontal cortex of the brain in those same mice that they did those studies in. They studied them later in life. And the prefrontal cortex is really involved in ADHD, and it's involved in, because they notice there's changes in the brain in that area in ADHD, and that's where your time management is, your organization, your behavior, making choices right from wrong. So they even find the physiological differences in the brain. They also found fewer neurons and different dendrites that come off the neurons in your brain. They're shorter, so they can't communicate effectively. So then your brain cells are not effectively communicating with each other. So there's just so many different things that they've done with that. But they did show in one study that 60% of children do react to MSG.
Wow, 60%. Oh my gosh. Wow. So tell us the things. So you'd said like salad dressings and like obviously some things like soy sauce obviously hasn't, but what are some of the things that we wouldn't maybe suspect that has MSG in it?
A lot of soups. The thing that really surprised me was the seasonings. So I think I have a couple of things here. Oh, but the other thing I should mention is that over 40 different ingredients contain MSG. So even if something doesn't say MSG on it, there's a chance it's in it. If you see something like protein, enzymes, enzyme fortified, anything that's got whey, like whey protein. Let's see. And then I have, if you can see here.
So whey protein has MSG in it? Oh my gosh.
I know, there's so many different things.
Wow.
I mean, it is something, this is a little sciencey. It is something that occurs naturally in our body.
Okay.
It's the L-glutamic acid. When they do the monosodium glutamate, then it becomes D-glutamic acid, and our bodies can't do anything with that. So some of these things just have it naturally occurring, but some of them have been processed. But
wow.
This at the store?
Yes.
It says no MSG added. So if you're looking to avoid MSG, if you look underneath, it says small amount of glutamate occurs naturally in yeast extract. So sometimes it'll say no MSG on the front, and it won't tell you except for that which occurs naturally until you get to the back. So you don't even know if you're trying to avoid it.
What?
Yeah, so it hides. And I can give you that guide too, where I've got the 40 list, the name of the 40.
Yes. Oh, that would be fantastic. But it's so confusing because what it says under no MSG added, that whole little, that little sentence is so complicated. Like who's going to even know what that means? You know?
No, because I mean, I didn't know that either until I really started researching. But yeah, so now if you're avoiding MSG, you've got MSG in this product. This is no MSG.
Unbelievable.
And then there's something else. I can do this all day. I love tearing apart.
I love it too.
So I got this cream of celery soup.
Yes.
Like I was telling you earlier, I've got my naughty cabinet of things where like don't touch, but it's my demo. So with this one, you've got yeast extract, which contains it, dehydrated whey, which contains MSG, soy protein concentrate, MSG, monosodium glutamate right there on the thing. So on the label. So now you've got several sources of MSG.
Oh my gosh. In Campbell's, which kind of prides itself on a lot of kid-friendly foods, your typical, chicken noodle soup. Gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you're avoiding it, those I'll definitely check out that list. But yeah, there's a lot of things that actually have several sources.
Now, if it says organic, though, that doesn't does that mean that it's could it be would it be free of MSG or not necessarily?
That's a great question. You know what? I'm not even actually 100% sure on that. I can check.
So we'll have to just make sure we look at the back of the label if it's organic, just to make sure it doesn't have that huge list.
I've seen it, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's wild.
It is.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So what else do you have any other products or anything else that comes to mind?
I do have a couple of, there's another preservative called BHA and BHT.
Oh yeah.
So this is another one, and I'm getting on my phone now because I took a picture the other day. Awesome. They're petroleum-based preservatives, and they're both linked to hyperactivity in children. And they show that they do that through their, they're in the benzoate family. So a lot of people avoid sodium benzoate because that has been shown to produce hyperactivity. But they found that if you give a child, they did a study and they gave these children a drink that contained sodium benzoate and artificial colors in them. And they found it produced hyperactivity and ADHD symptoms in children without ADHD. So I went to the store and took pictures.
Oh my gosh. Yes, yes.
So this is, I believe it's a Mountain, I've got to look.
Oh gosh, Mountain Dew.
It has sodium, yeah, it's got yellow number 5 and the sodium benzoate. So you've got that in there. And then it's got brominated vegetable oil, which is a flame retardant in here.
Is that Mountain Dew?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
So not only does Mountain Dew have roughly 76 grams of sugar, so it's almost an entire week's worth of sugar for a child. Now it has MSGs and all the and artificial dyes. Holy cow.
I know.
Could it be
crazy.
Any worse for us?
I did some of these and I was just like, oh, just give it like Mountain Dew Red. Oh, just same thing. But those artificial colors are also, some of them are shown to be possible cancer causers too. So you've got that too. So when you've got Mountain Dew Red, you've got Red number 40.
Wow.
Along with the brominated vegetable oil, the flame retardant. And so it's just, it's a nightmare. But
oh my gosh.
Back to the KJ and BHT. You'll see that on the label listed as BHT added to preserve freshness. So it sounds like it's a good thing.
That. Yes.
It's not.
Oh my gosh. That's, what else is that BHT added to? I've seen that on a couple other things too, and I can't remember now what I saw it on. Same thing. Add it to maintain freshness.
Yeah, they're in gums and drinks, and I had my list here.
Is it like packaged goods too, like candies or cookies or things like that, I bet?
Yeah, yep. And a lot of cereals, they'll add it to the lining of the bag.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. So what did you, so how did you, what foods did you transition to then to get your family off of all of that, you know, off of those top three?
I shop at a lot of places like Trader Joe's has a lot of decent food. So I did a lot of shopping there. But I do a lot of brand switching period. So, there are some cereals cause I don't want, my other thing is 80-20 rule.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I tell my kids they can't ever have something ever again, they're going to want that so bad. So, but I do find safer products. So I've got kind of a top 10 list of things, my deal breakers that I avoid in food, MSG being one of them.
Yeah.
Artificial colors. But like, for instance, the Trader Joe's cereal, it's not ideal, but they do have it without all of the major artificial colors if my kids want Fruit Loops.
Awesome. Yes.
So I do that type of switching. But one of my biggest tips for parents is if you tell your child, okay, no more cookies ever again, when they go to a child's house, like a friend's house where you don't have any control, they're going to want to eat like 40 cookies rather than 2 cookies.
Right.
So might want more than 2 cookies. But I think that's the biggest thing. But more of a fresh, unprocessed diet is what we went to. So some of these ingredients, they're listed, the studies are listed in medical journals.
Mm-hmm.
There's some controversy about all the things we've talked about today, but so I just recommend parents do their own research.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in processed foods, so avoiding processed foods would be so much better for all of us anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But just adding adding a lot more fruits and vegetables to the diet and learning how to cook with whole foods.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really good feedback. And like you say, you're going to know. I assume you're probably going to know the impact of it rather quickly. I mean, do you think in about a week or so of getting that out of the diet, you would notice some improvement?
Yeah, because another thing you can do is take out some of the, like gluten, corn, egg. Hard to do, but there's so many great recipes out there right now. And, you know, that's why I'm so excited to be working with you too, is if you take some of those major allergens out of the diet, you can see those results in a few days if that's an issue.
Wow. Did you see that with your son, that gluten was also a factor?
Not so much because this was way before the gluten.
Got it.
Before the, I mean, it's just in the last, I don't know how long, but yeah, 10, it was like 10, 11 years ago before gluten was a really big known,
mm-hmm.
I didn't with gluten, to be honest,
mm-hmm.
the additives and the preservatives.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine it's bound to play. I mean, I think gluten has been, it's been said that it causes that inflammation in the brain. So I would imagine that it absolutely plays a role in it, especially with the symptoms. We have gluten sensitivities in our family, although our reactions are a little bit different, though, but very strong. And now that we've taken it out of our diet, the minute that I put it back in, hits me just like a ton of bricks. I mean, it's so wild how your body, I mean, thank goodness, I mean, your body, you know, gets rid of it, and we just feel it just like that when you reintroduce it. So we know now that that our body has a sensitivity to it as a result of that.
Yes, and parents can take it out for a few days, too. Well, actually, take it out for a week if you can, and then add it back in and see if those results hit your kids. And then you know, oh, that's a sensitivity.
Wow. Yes, for sure. Well, this is so helpful. And I think this is really going to open up parents' eyes to really kind of looking at the back of that food label. But again, the food label is so confusing because we see words and we don't really know what they mean. The front of the label is even worse because it's a bit, that's what the food manufacturers are doing. They're trying to make it, you know, like the no MSG added appears as though it's a safe product, but clearly it's not though. So it becomes very hard for us to know what to trust. So I think that you've created some really good information for us to help us. And I'll also link to a guide that you have for families, which is how to steer clear of, you know, the top 2 to 3 foods that we should steer clear of. And are those that have MSG then? Is that the guide?
The guide has, it tells about the BHT and the artificial colors and what to look for and how to avoid, and MSG is listed in there. And then I think in the guide it links to the 40.
That would be so good. That would be awesome. So tell us about how you work with families and how you're helping them make this transition as well.
Okay. I have a coaching program where it kind of goes, it's a 3-month program and we go through the major areas of your house, which is the same as one of my programs that is just pretty much self-study. Mm-hmm. So I go through, again, what you put on your body 1 week, and then the next week is what you put on your body, like the lotions and the personal care products. And the third one is, again, like cleaning products and the air fresheners and everything. So we go through your house and get rid of the major toxins. And then the coaching program is one-on-one, where I help parents do that and read labels. And then if they have children with ADHD or learning disabilities, we go through, you know, how to create a schedule, time management tips, and that type of thing. So,
That is awesome. And it's so great that they have you to handhold and walk them through the process, because I'm sure that, you know, many would find it very overwhelming. Oh my gosh, now I've got to completely take care, you know, get rid of all the products that we have from food, get rid of all of our household products. I mean, that would be overwhelming to a family. So you pretty much are taking them just on a month by month by month basis, right? For 90 days.
Yeah. And my biggest thing too is don't take everything out at once, because that's just, I think it blows people's minds. And it did mine too. Like, I've got to get rid of everything or there's going to be no impact at all. But that's not true. Even small changes can make huge impacts.
Absolutely. Yes, you're right. We find that with healthy eating too. The same concept is, you know, it's too much to try and do all of it at once. And then it really just becomes a progression over time. And the more that you learn and you experiment with new things, you know, again, you just, you know, week by week by week, you just substitute a product, just like you're saying. I mean, you substitute a product, you do some product swaps, and then over the course of, you know, a month, 2 months or so, what a difference that you've made with your family. So I think you're right. That's the best way, I think, to go to make it sustainable.
Yeah, because we noticed too, like as soon as we took some foods out, we did it slowly and added more of the whole foods back in, and they contain like the magnesium and the B vitamins and the iron and everything that you need and the good sources of protein that you need for those neurotransmitters. Mm. And once you get those, a lot of ADHD is kind of a lack of some of those minerals. So once you add those whole foods back in, you know, you can see an improvement pretty quickly.
Man, that is so cool. That is just awesome. And then I assume for adults then that might be feeling they're suffering from same strategy for adults as well. Would you agree?
Yeah. And one of the things too is protein, which is surprising, but a lot of adults don't get enough high quality protein. Mm-hmm. And you need that to build your amino acids, which build your neurotransmitters. So for adults, I definitely say that, and kids too, of course, but it is pretty similar for the adults and the children.
So what would you recommend as a high quality protein?
Grass-fed beef.
Okay.
Organic or pasteurized eggs. Same thing with like organic chicken, as organic as you can get with those type of things.
Yeah.
And if you're vegetarian, you know, you have to do a complete protein. So you have to combine your proteins. Mm-hmm. But, you know, organic and grass-fed as much as possible.
That's really good. But I loved, again, what you said about watch out for the whey protein. I mean, if they're trying to use it in the form of a shake or to get their protein in that form, though, that we still have to be very careful because that's not going to be the right way to do it.
Right. And it's got the casein, too, which can affect ADHD symptoms in your children if they're affected by dairy.
Is there a protein powder that you personally use or have liked?
No, protein? I don't really have one right now. I don't do a whole lot of that. I know there's some good ones out there, but I don't use it with my children too much.
We don't either. Yeah, we don't either. I just wondered. But that's really good feedback on the high quality protein and what sorts to use. I think that's really helpful for families too.
Yeah, and it helps control their blood sugar. So a lot of, if you have a blood sugar crash, you can have actually ADHD symptoms. So it can exacerbate in children who have it.
Really?
Yeah. So if you have an apple after school, your child has an apple after school, and then a little while later, they're like, I'm hungry, or you send them to school with just a carbohydrate, even though it's a healthy one. Mm-hmm. Balance that with a protein and a fat if you can. So an apple would be really great with an almond butter or some type of organic almond butter or some type of, you know, something along with that has a protein because it balances their blood sugars and it also keeps them fuller longer.
That's really, really good advice because that happens a lot with kids. And you think that you're doing the right thing by just eating the apple, but like you say, wow.
Yeah, it's not going to sustain them.
That is great. That's really good feedback. Can you talk a little bit about the carrageenan? Because I think that, you know, a lot of folks have switched to almond milk over the years because they think that almond milk is a healthier option. But I think a lot of the almond milks do have that carrageenan. And that too is one of those toxins that we're trying to get away from, right?
Right. That one, I just started researching because I started hearing a lot about it, but it's been shown to do a lot of damage to the intestines. Oh. And so when you're doing and damage to the intestines and the stomach, I mean, most things happen, start in the gut.
Yes.
So you have that. I don't know the effects on, you know, brain health or anything, but they have shown a lot of damage and a lot of researchers are saying to avoid it.
Yeah.
So that's definitely something. And you can make your own almond milk so simply. Mm-hmm. So that's what I recommend for people to do because that carrageenan is in toothpaste now. So, I don't want to name it just in case it's not, but check your toothpaste.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That's wild. Yeah. It's interesting with my little one. He has suffered chronic constipation for many years and we continue to deal with this and we've done gluten-free. We've done a number of things to really help him. But one thing we did was transition him away from a good bit of dairy, but from milk in general. So we went to almond milk. But we didn't know that what we were feeding him, the almond milk, had the carrageenan in it. So we found a brand that doesn't have it. But, I mean, you know, we thought we were making the right decision and transitioning him over. But, again, now that has some things in it that could be harming his gut, as you say. So it's just a constant progression, isn't it? Finding that right product.
Oh, I know. It's so hard. Because that's definitely one of my top 10 ingredients. I have information on that, on how to avoid it. Because that's something that just doing the research, if you start looking it up, it's just kind of a rabbit hole to go down because there's so much.
Yes, for sure. But I think you're right. It's kind of getting back to just, you know, trying to control a little bit more of what we're eating and us playing a bigger part in that. You can make your own almond milk really easy. You can make your own, your own nut butters if you wanted to. I mean, different things like that are things that we can do on our own. So I think it's getting back to some of that and getting away from all the added ingredients.
Right.
For sure. Oh, this was so good. Well, thank you so much for all of your time. I think this is awesome. It's going to be such an eye-opener for a lot of our families. And so we will link back to this on our blog. We'll also link back to your guide and also your online program for families that want to look into that a little bit deeper and get to work with you one-on-one. I think this is a game changer. I mean, it really is a life changer for a lot of families. So thank you so much for opening our eyes to this. We are so thrilled. And I'm so excited to be working with you too. So this is going to be an awesome couple of months.
I love what
ahead.
You do. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, everybody. We will talk to you all soon. Thanks again.
Bye.